Good morning, Cornerstone. My name is Pastor Jeremy Lind, and we are currently reading through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings in a sermon series called Defeating the Darkness. And a lot of great stuff is going on. We just got back on our youth retreat. They are so nice to bring a shirt back for me and Sarah, so got my Arctic Blast shirt on. And we've got a women's retreat coming up, and there's a lot of great stuff to look forward to. And I thought I'd take this opportunity to update us on some sermon series we'll be doing after our Defeating the Darkness series, which we'll be going through until Easter. We'll be in April, we'll be starting a question called sermon series called Your Questions and His Answers, and we'll be talking about how we have questions and how that's normal and natural to have those questions, and we'll be talking about how to ask those questions in a positive way to receive God's answers. So that'll be in April, and then after that in May, we will be reading through the book of Galatians, talking about how the gospel is greater than the alternatives that are presented to us in our society, the alternatives of atheism and agnosticism and pluralism and rebellion and of getting to heaven by being a good person. So we'll be calling it the gospel is greater and how God's truth is bigger and better, and then it'll be in May. Today we're going to continue our Defeating the Darkness series, and we're going to be talking about a choice that God gives us. I'd like to share a choice that Sarah and I have had in our marriage many times that's brought great discord into our relationship. You see, we go to a lot of catered dinners, and they give you two choices at these catered dinners. They'll say, you can have chicken, or you can have fish. And now, I love chicken, but I have chicken a lot. I don't have fish a lot. So I always say, I really like some fish. I have a choice here. I can have chicken, which I have all the time, or fish. That fish looks delicious. I'm going to go with the fish. And then it's time for Sarah to order. And she thinks, they both look really good. And Jeremy's ordering fish. So if I order chicken, I can add that to his fish. And then we can split them. And then we both get chicken and fish. To which I say, no. I didn't want chicken. I wanted fish. And I tell Sarah, dear, choose chicken or fish. And I don't want the chicken to come over on my side. And I don't want my fish to go over on your side. But Sarah wishes it was more like that. And she could have a little bit of both. A little bit of chicken and a little bit of fish. And this is a fine choice. It really is. Chicken and fish both serve the same purpose. They nourish us. They fill our stomachs. And this is a good choice. There's nothing wrong with choosing chicken and fish. They're not mutually exclusive. But the choice God gives us is. And we can't have both. It's one or the other on this choice. And we started this sermon on Christmas. And we talked about how Jesus is God himself. Come to shed light to those who sit in darkness. That's who Jesus is, and that's why he came. That's why he was born into this world. And Jesus presents us with a choice between his light or the darkness that we experience and sit in this world. And it's one or the other. We can follow Jesus in the way of light, or we can choose the darkness. Another way of putting this choice is it's between good and it's between evil. And Jesus is God's good way, God's good plan. And we experience evil on this earth. We experience what it's like to have a world with evil in it. And Jesus gives us a choice. It's one or the other. It's good or it's evil. And honestly, as human beings, we really honestly, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we wish it was like that. Because we're not perfect and we're tempted towards evil, it entices us. And every day we make choices which hurt ourselves and hurt others. And rebel against God. We make choices to live lifestyles that hurt other people and hurt our environment. We make choices which hurt other people in our society, societies which oppress and result in violence and poverty and oppression. And personally, we make choices which, selfish choices, greedy choices, which will harm our relationships. We are tempted towards evil. And we kind of wish it was this. We know we like the good. But there's also something about evil that we think it somehow serves us as well. And so we wish we had that choice, but we don't. Jesus gives us this choice. And he says, I'm the God of light, and I have come to remove the presence of evil from the world. I've come to defeat the darkness. And we know what the darkness results in. We've seen the pain that it causes and the suffering of violence and anger, of war and poverty and oppression and illness and suffering and death. And Jesus says, trust me that evil is really bad for you. And trust me that I know what is really good for you. And he asks us to make a choice, and it's one or the other. And there's no compromise. And this is a good thing, because our world is not okay the way it is. It's not okay with school shootings and with sexual violence and confusion and broken relationships. It's not okay, and it won't be okay until Jesus comes and defeats the darkness and removes evil from this world. And so we have a choice. And our choice is between Jesus and the way of light or the way of darkness. And Jesus is clear on the consequences of that choice. And we're going to begin reading about the consequences of that choice in Luke chapter 10. If you'd like to turn with me there now, I'll also have the verses up on the screen. And we have Bibles in the back. And if you'd like to grab a Bible, feel free to stand up and go grab one. On the inside of your bulletin, there are some sermon notes. And our first sermon note is that we cannot choose both good and evil. We're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And so God is clear on the consequences of our choice. And here he's sending out his disciples to face other people with this choice of well, to give them the news that God has come to earth. The king has come and he's here to remove the presence of evil. And we have a choice to make between his way and the way of darkness. And he sends them out with this message of peace. And he starts off saying the harvest is plentiful. And we're going to talk about the consequences of this choice, and we're going to get into some dark and ugly things today. But we start off on a positive note. Jesus says this message of peace will result in a plentiful harvest. The problem isn't that the harvest is small. The problem is it's so big that we need more people to go out and spread this message. That's just a wonderful place to start. It's a wonderful place to remember what God's will is. His will is the way of peace. He's come to guide us from darkness into light. It's his will that everyone is saved. We are all precious to God. And so he sends people out into this harvest to bring people out of the way of darkness into light, into the way of peace. And the disciples go out after Jesus' death and resurrection into this harvest. And it is plentiful. Jesus was right. Thousands of people convert. Thousands of people begin to follow Christ, and the harvest is plentiful. And for the last 2,000 years, the harvest has been plentiful. The disciples turned Christianity into a worldwide movement of people coming to know God's peace and his salvation through the teachings of Jesus Christ. All throughout the last 2,000 years, all types of people and all types of places have come to know Jesus. And we have a harvest that is plentiful, and it's still plentiful before us today. And as a laborer in the harvest, I've seen the plentiful harvest. When we had a Bible study at St. John's University, and we saw so many young students come from the darkness into the light. And upon graduation at Celebration Church in Sartell, I saw so many students, again, coming from the darkness into the light, and in that community and in that church through that ministry and in that harvest. And again, at Crossroads and Seminary, where I did my internship, I saw a ministry that was bringing many people into this harvest, out of the darkness, into the light, into the way of God's peace. And again, at Cornerstone, we can look around and we can see the harvest that God has blessed us with. And many of you today have come to know Jesus Christ. And have come from the way of darkness into the way of light. Through the ministry and the labor of all those who have served here. All those who set up the nursery. All those who unload the trailer. All those who set up the sound. And the harvest is plentiful. And it will continue to be plentiful in the future as we go forward. That's a positive thing. Jesus' purpose in facing people with this decision is for a positive outcome. It's for a harvest, for people to be saved and to know God's peace. And so he sends them out with this way of peace. And he says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be unto you. And he's not just talking about an easy, restful feeling. It's not the same. This is not the same peace as getting in a quiet room and turning on some classical music and pouring yourself some tea and taking deep breaths. This is a much different kind of peace. This is the kind of peace that comes with knowing that we are united with our God and our Creator. That we know who we are and who God is. And we know through this peace that the ways that we have hurt others and hurt ourselves and rebelled against God, this kind of peace lets us know that Jesus has taken care of those. And he's redeemed those. And the ways that we have contributed to the evil on this earth have been forgiven. It's a deep spiritual peace. And that's a peace that Jesus is talking about as he sends the laborers out into the harvest. But even though Jesus has a message of peace, he lets his disciples know that it's not just going to be easy. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. And even though he's got a message of peace and salvation, he knows there's going to be opposition. He prepares his disciples for that. He says, if a son of peace is there, then your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. He lets his disciples know that in this message, in spreading this message, there's going to be people who reject the way of peace. They will reject God's peace and his forgiveness. And Jesus tells his disciples what that will look like. Verse 7, he says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And so Jesus begins talking about the consequences of the choice of rejecting the message of peace. And we find out why in the earlier verses he gave them such a urgent message. He says, don't carry any knapsacks. Don't take any extra stuff. Get out there. Go send this message. It's a message that is urgent because of the stakes. They're high. And Jesus says, when you meet somebody on the road, don't dawdle. Get out there with this message. Get to where you're going to. Bring this message of peace out there, that God himself has come to earth to guide our feet into the way of peace, to give us a knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus says, when you enter a town, they receive you, heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. And Jesus is our king. And the kingdom of God is what is left when Jesus removes the presence of evil from the world. We're left with a purely good creation, God's purely good will for us. And it's called the kingdom of God. It's heaven. And Jesus says, when they receive you, let them know that this kingdom has come near to them. This kingdom where there is no more evil, no more poverty, oppression, sickness, illness, death, violence, anger, sin. Let them know that this kingdom has come near. But let the people who reject you also know that the kingdom has come near, but in a different way. Let them know that it's come to their doorstep, but they've rejected it and they won't receive it when they reject the message of peace. And Jesus says, let them know that the division between good and evil, the division between God's kingdom and the darkness, the division between the light of Jesus Christ and the choice for evil is sharp and it's strong, and this division is so powerful that even the dust of their town can't come with you. He says, when they reject you, shake that dust off of your feet. Let them know that there's a division and I'm choosing the way of peace. And you're choosing the way of darkness, and not even the dust from your town can come with. Over the cross and cross this divide. Let them know that the dust on your feet needs to come from following the footsteps of Jesus Christ and the way of peace. Let them know that you're on the straight and narrow going to God's kingdom. Let them know the consequences of their choice. Let them know that the kingdom of God has come near. But in that day, it will be more bearable for Sodom than for that town. And the idea of hell is something that Jesus talks about. He lets us know the consequence of our choice. He lets us know the consequence of being on the wrong side of this divide, of rejecting the way of peace with God, of choosing darkness, of choosing the evil that we know leads to violence and sickness, illness, and death. He lets us know the consequence. And he lets us know in a really strong way. And he compares it to the town of Sodom. The town of Sodom is an Old Testament town. And in Genesis we read that this town chose darkness on earth. They chose evil. And in Genesis it lets us know that God completely destroyed this town. And so Jesus doesn't shy away from telling us the consequence of this choice. And we talk about how just about everybody I know who rejects the way of peace, rejects God, talks about this doctrine of hell. It's something that can offend. But Jesus talks about it, and as Christians, we have to talk about it too. We have to talk about the teachings of Jesus Christ. Because he knows. And he lets us know the consequences. He lets us know that it'll be more bearable for the town that was completely destroyed than for the people who reject the way of peace. And so we find that choosing evil leads to hell. And it leads to hell on earth. That's what was happening in the town of Sodom. They're choosing evil on earth. And we've seen how evil leads to hell on earth. It leads to war and anger and broken relationships and pain and suffering. And choosing evil leads to hell in the future as well. And Jesus lets us know this consequence. And why would anyone choose that? Why would anyone make that choice? Jesus says in verse 16, he says, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And Jesus makes it clear, when these people hear this message of peace that the disciples give, they hear Jesus. It's like hearing Jesus himself and his words, and his message of peace, and his desire and his goal for unity. But the one who rejects the disciples, who rejects the word of God, rejects God himself, because Jesus Christ is God's Son, come to earth to remove the presence of evil. And why would anyone make that choice? Why would anyone reject good? Well, I was talking with my friend Mike. We got on topics of the gospel. He said, "What are you doing these days?" And I was talking, letting him know, and I let him know the way of peace, the same message that God sent his disciples out with, with the goal of bringing people from the darkness into the light, into unity. And I talked about this, and I said, "What do you think? What do you think about faith in Jesus Christ? What do you think about following God's way of peace into salvation?" And he said, "I don't like it." And so you're telling me I need faith in Christ, but what about a starving kid in Africa or India who's never heard of God? What happens to them? If faith in Jesus Christ brings peace, how can they have peace? How can they know salvation? I said, "Well, Jesus gives us a command to go out and tell the world." But I thought it was an odd thing to bring up because Mike has never cared about starving children in India or Africa before. And I thought, this isn't the time to be selfless, Mike. You yourself have been faced with this choice. The kingdom of God, the message has come near to you. And I said, we can trust God. He's good even in his judgment. People don't go to hell on a technicality. They go because they reject the way of peace. And they reject Jesus Christ and his message of salvation. And I said, this message has come near to you today. Let's not worry about what happens to someone across the world who hasn't heard right now. This is your choice. And he looked at me and he said, "Your God's idea of heaven is my idea of hell." And he said, "I choose hell." And he looked right me right in the eye and said, "I choose evil, and I would choose to go to hell." And I was blown away. Why would somebody make this choice? Why would somebody reject God's peace? Why would somebody choose the consequences even though they know them? We need to understand this choice better. So we're going to read in Luke chapter 16. If you'd like to turn a few more pages with me, we'll be reading in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We're going to look at someone who makes this choice. Verse 19 says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried." And so here we got a rich guy who's eating tons of food. He's eating it every day. He's got all he could ask for and more. And we got a poor guy who's so poor that he can't even make it to the rich man's gate. It says he was laid there. And so somebody brought him there. They're like, "Hey, somebody's got to take care of this guy." And so they just bring him. They lay him at this gate. They're like, "This guy's got plenty. Maybe he'll help the poor man." The poor man lays at the gates and he just wants to be fed with what comes from the rich man's table, the waste that he's not eating. And they both die, and the poor man goes to Abraham's side. It's just another way to refer to heaven. And the rich man also dies. We find that he's in somewhere else and he's receiving the consequences of his choice. It says, "In Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes." The rich man did, "and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish.'" And so this is a parable. It's a story which tells us a reality. And in this story, we find that the reality of hell, we don't know much about it. We don't know much about the consequences of this choice, but it's a place of torment where even a drip of water off of the finger of another person would be seen as welcome relief. And we see that in this rich man's life, he chose to create a world of torment. He had an option. He had plenty. And there was a man in torment laid at his gates. And the rich man chose the way of torment. He chose to have a world of torment, a world that he helped create. And now he's experiencing the world that he created. It all makes sense. He's experiencing the consequences of his own choice, of a world of torment. And he says, "Just send somebody to dip their finger in water. Send that poor man, for I'm in anguish." And we see that he was merciless in this life. And now he's not receiving mercy. The time for mercy has ended. The time to divide the good from the evil, the light from the dark has come. And he has made his choice. And Abraham says in verse 26, he says, "Besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And so he sees the consequences of his choice, and he thinks about his brothers, and they're making the same choice. And he says, "Send somebody to tell them about this. They need to know more to make the right choice." And the thinking is, if they just know the consequences of their choice, well, they'll choose something else. Verse 29 says, "Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.'" There's somebody out there telling them right now. They have all they need to know. Let them listen to the scriptures. Let them listen to the disciples who are going out with a message of peace. Verse 30, the man says, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And Abraham says to him, he says, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." And the rich man's like, "Hey, maybe if it's just crazy, maybe it's frightening and shocking if somebody from the dead comes and tells them what they're experiencing, that they'd change, that they would repent." You see, the problem is that they're not repenting. They're choosing the way of darkness. They're choosing it, and they're not ashamed of it. And they're not going to apologize. They're not going to repent. And the thought is, well, if there's already people telling them, and send something miraculous and shocking and crazy, and they'll change. And Jesus tells this parable and says, even if someone rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe him. And Jesus knows his own future. He knows that he's going to die for our sins. He's going to rise from the grave to defeat death, to completely defeat the darkness, to overcome the final tool of Satan to ruin God's creation, death itself. Jesus knows he's going to rise from the dead. And he knows that even then people aren't going to listen to him. Even then, there are those who are going to choose to reject his way of peace and his way of unity with God. And here he's, in this parable, he's prophetic. He just tells everybody this is going to happen. Even if we sent someone from the dead, there's going to be people who don't choose this. And Jesus knows, because he knows it's going to happen. And they won't repent. Why won't they repent? Why won't they choose the way of peace and forgiveness? Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has paid, so for you and I, it's free. Why wouldn't they accept this free offer? Why won't they choose it? We find out that this division is real, that the consequences are eternal. Jesus makes that clear. And he lets us know that we know everything we need right now in order to make that right choice. We have heard the message. We've been offered peace. And we've heard a story about a man who chooses the darkness and his brothers who continue to choose the darkness. And why? Why are they choosing that? Well, if we've gotten a taste of evil in this world that we think serves us, if we think it's okay for us and good for us personally to be selfish at times, to be greedy at times, if we've grown to love that, we've grown to taste power and we've grown to love that and wouldn't want to give that up. If we choose the way of darkness, then a God of light suddenly becomes our enemy. If we love evil and we think it somehow serves us, then we don't want it to go. And that's why my friend Mike will look me in the eye and say, I choose hell if that's what's going on. There are things here that I like. There's evil down here that I like that I don't think is evil. I'm going to choose that over God in his way of peace. He says, your God's heaven is my hell. And so he's made that choice. He wants to go. He wouldn't want to go to heaven. And through our own choices on this earth, we've had a taste of the darkness and its result of war, of anger, of broken relationships. It has led to pain, suffering, and emptiness. And like the rich man, I've made choices which have hurt myself and hurt other people and rebelled against God. I have made choices which have contributed to evil on this earth. Like the rich man, I have helped create a world of pain. And it only makes sense that I would experience the world that I helped to create. That I would continue to experience a world of pain. But I don't have to. Because if Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his love and his mercy for me, I can choose the way of light and I can be a part of the harvest. And I don't have to experience the consequences of the evil choices that I and you have made on earth. Jesus is coming to offer us a new way. And we can choose his way of light over the darkness. We can be a part of that harvest. It would only make sense that we get to experience the world we help create, but we don't have to. Jesus has come to guide our feet onto a new path. It's the way of peace. And I have chosen to be a part of that harvest. I'm a part of that plentiful harvest. And have you chosen to be a part of that harvest today? Unlike the rich man and his brothers, are you willing to let evil go? Are you willing to trust Jesus when he tells us that he's here to remove evil and it's good? And he knows what's good for us and he knows what's bad for us. And he's here to create a kingdom where there is no more evil. Are you a part of the harvest today? Have you made the right choice? Because God desperately wants you to. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for giving us a way of peace, a way of good, God. Even though we have made choices and been tempted and fallen and chosen evil and created pain for ourselves and for others, even though our world consists of so much pain for so many people, God, we thank you for coming down, having mercy, and showing us the way of peace through your Son, Jesus Christ, showing us the way of light. We thank you that you love us so much that you've come to restore us to your goodwill for our lives. God, I thank you for Jesus and your salvation and your forgiveness. I thank you for taking the ways that I have contributed to the evil and removing them and forgiving me and being willing to redeem them and redeem this world and make it again purely good. And Lord, we pray for this harvest, this plentiful harvest, God. We want to see other people being guided into the same way of peace which you've guided us to. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send your Spirit here and with us as we go, that we could be messengers of this peace, bringing the way of peace to other people. We thank you, God. We pray that you would give us the strength to make this right choice. And God, we pray for those we love, that you would give them the strength to make this right choice. We pray all of these things, and we pray for the gifts that we're about to receive, that you'd multiply them and use them for your harvest. Thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. This time we're going to take up the offering if the ushers would like to come forward. And as the baskets pass, please include those communication cards, those connection cards in the baskets. And if you're a visitor here, don't feel that you have to put anything else in there. Our regular members and attenders do a great job of providing for the ministries here. And after the baskets pass, please join and stand and join us in worship.